I'm Carson Stooley. With me is Fangraphs Managing Editor Dave Cameron, and this is the Pitch Talks Blue Jays Podcast. Yes, Dave Cameron, it is episode 13 of the Pitch Talks Blue Jays Podcast. The Pitch Talks Blue Jays Podcast. I am Carson Stooley of Fangraphs.com. You are Dave Cameron. Well, I say, Dave Cameron, are you there? First of all, let's verify.
I am alive.
You are alive. That's good. And you are here via audio. You are Dave Cameron, the managing editor of Fangraphs.com. And as I say, I also work for Fangraphs.com. And what do we do here? We present the Pitch Talks Blue Jays podcast, which is an attempt to apply the same sort of objective analysis and dispassionate analysis that we utilize at Fangraphs.com. That's what we endeavor to do each week, Dave Cameron.
Yeah, I hope we have done that better than the Blue Jays have played baseball this year.
Okay, all right. And, of course, we do it at the pleasure of our patron, Homestand Sports. Homestand Sports, not Homeland Sports. It is a patriotic sports website. No, this is Homestand Sports, who facilitate, among other things, the Pitch Talks event. Dave Cameron, could you please explain what is a Pitch Talks event?
It is a gathering of baseball fans in a particular city to talk about their team with front office members, broadcasters, writers, other fans, bloggers, general people who have opinions and like to hold microphones. It is usually held in some kind of venue that serves adult beverages, so yeah. Alcohol is consumed during the event and fun is had by all.
Fun is had by all. To use the passive voice, and I will now, Dave Cameron, I will inform you about some Pitch Talks events that are upcoming. None more in July. July is a month off. But we find that on Monday, August 7th at 7 p.m. in Brooklyn, New York, the Bell House specifically, there's a Pitch Talks event featuring Ben Lindbergh, not only of The Ringer, but also Everybody Has to Have Fun, the book Everybody Has to Have Fun.
Yeah, that's not the name of this book.
What is the name of it?
The only rule is it has to work.
The only rule is it has to work by Ben Lindbergh, also of The Ringer. He's done some great work recently with looking at the juiced ball, I think. He's provided some help.
Yeah, only recently. His previous work was terrible.
No, that's a good point. And then also Jeff Sullivan at Fangraphs.com, not only a Vulcanist, but also a contributor to Fangraphs.com, as I say. And together, they record on frequently the Effectively Wild podcast, which is hosted at Fangraphs.com.
That's right. Do you want to know some breaking news about that August 7th event?
Yes.
I will also be there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So if you're going to go for Effectively Wild, maybe show up after my part.
Yeah. All right. So that will be Monday, August 7th, 7 p.m., the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York. One other event about which I have informed the people occurs Monday, September 18th. Monday, September 18th. This is in San Francisco at 7 p.m. And it's at the Independent, and it will. One can see there, for example, Grant Brisby, owner operator of McCovey Chronicles, the San Francisco Giants SB Nation blog. Bobby Evans, the real GM for the San Francisco Giants, and also the curiously coiffed Eno Saris, who writes for Fangraphs.com. They will all be in attendance. And that is also occurring. What did I say? September 18th. Monday, September 18th, 7 p.m. So those are the upcoming events for Homestand Sports, Dave Cameron. Now let us move on to some objective analysis of the Toronto Blue Jays. Of course, we begin every week by discussing how the team has done over the past week. The past week is not full because of the All-Star game. We did see three games, however, July 14th through the 16th. And two losses, one victory in Detroit. One bad loss, too, started by Francisco Liriano against Michael Fulmer, who has become one of the top pitchers in the American League. Dave Cameron, shall I tell you who is at fault in terms of offense versus defense or offense versus pitching?
I would love to hear it.
Yeah, okay, over the past week, the Blue Jays, the Toronto Blue Jays offense, their hitters in total, this includes their defensive numbers, finished 26th among 30 teams. Again, this is a shorter sample. Negative WAR, they finished with negative 0.2 wins. The pitching staff also finished 26th among all those same teams. So it was everybody's fault.
All to blame.
Yeah, that's the basic idea. And really not a lot in the way of bright spots, except probably for Aaron Sanchez, who allowed zero runs over six innings in his one of his many returns from
fourth return from the disabled list this year, from
a hand or finger related injury. Yeah, and as we might discuss very soon, he is probably integral to the team's success over the course of the rest of the season. So that is the right. So that is the performance of late. Dave Kimmel, we get to the competition in the near future. However, I feel it is paramount that I share with you, Dave Cameron, not only the fact that the trade deadline is approaching. That will be July 31st or whatever, what time it happens.
I think somewhere, 5 p.m. Eastern, I believe.
Usually 5 p.m. Eastern on the day. But I will also tell you that Paul Swiden of Fangraphs.com wrote for that fine website today his case for the Blue Jays. And it in part revolves around the general competence of the team or the fact that some of the weaknesses of the team are easily addressed. But it also brings into effect the fact that the construction of the American League postseason picture at this point is very curious.
Yeah.
And I think you probably think it's curious for the same reason that Paul Swiden does, which is what?
There are only three good teams in the American League.
Okay.
And there are five playoff spots to be grabbed by American League teams. So two mediocre to bad teams will make the postseason in the American League this year.
So the obviously good teams are?
The Astros.
Yeah.
The Indians,
yeah,
and the Red Sox.
Right. And we feel like these are probably, let's see, we're looking at the projections of Fangraphs.com. We find that the Astros have a 100% chance of winning the Western Division. Again, I think as you mentioned in print today at Fangraphs.com, that is, there's some rounding present.
Yeah, 99.9 something.
Right, right. But the fact that, of course, this is for them to win the division. They have a very strong team. That is what has allowed them to win games to date and what we expect will allow them to continue winning games. Cleveland has roughly an 89% chance of winning their division, and the Red Sox have roughly an 80% chance. So those are the likely division winners. However, when you get beyond the division winners, it seems as though there's a whole other tier of teams. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, there's three good teams, and then there's 12 bad teams.
Okay, so those three good teams are?
The Indians. I thought we were just talking about the Indians.
Oh, no, right. Sorry. So there's 12 bad teams. Right, so you have teams like the Yankees, who have played well at points, but I think they've struggled over the last month. The Rays, who have been pretty consistently
okay
present, yeah. Especially, I suppose, relative to their resources, they've done quite well. And then, yeah, you have just a bunch of teams, and many of them under 500, who
the
are
Royals,
almost
Rangers, Twins. I mean, these are not good teams. The Blue Jays, they're teams that could be good, or you mm-hmm. could look at it and be like, well, if their good players were playing better, or if they hadn't had injuries, maybe they would be good. But yeah, the Blue Jays are probably the fourth best team in the American League on paper. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anyone who's watched the Blue Jays play all year thinks this is the fourth best team in the American League.
Right. Now, okay, so a couple points to that. Now, as Paul Swiden notes, part of the reason that he thinks that the Blue Jays oughtn't, be sellers at the deadline, for example, is because of the quality of the competition or the lack of quality among their competition.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. With regard to a team like this, that whose only chance of qualifying for the postseason is to get one of the two wild card spots, what do we know about how much a team ought to sell, ought not to sell, in order to get one of those positions? Because automatically you're putting yourself in a situation where you have only a 50% chance of moving on.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a difference between buying to try and make the wild card and not selling in order to try and make the wild card, right? So, like, if you're a team like the Blue Jays, you almost certainly should not be buying right now. Like, there's no real reason to give up future value to try and boost your chance of making to a one-game playoff to where, you know, potentially you win that game and then you go up against one of the three good teams in the American League and you get your, butt handed to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't make any sense. But also, if you're this close to a playoff race, you have to kind of look at it and say, what am I actually going to get for the things that I could sell, that I'm willing to sell if I'm not willing to give up in 2018? Mark Shapiro came out and basically said, like, look, we're not punting next year ahead of time. So we're not trading Josh Donaldson. We're not trading Marcus Stroman. We're not trading Aaron Sanchez. Stop asking. So if you're keeping that group together, you're trying to win next year, you look at this roster and like, what can I actually get from Marco Estrada, who's really struggled the last couple months as a free agent at the end of the year, throws 87 miles an hour. Given how he's pitched this year, another team's probably not going to put him in their playoff rotation, so they're acquiring him as like a fifth starter for the stretch run and then maybe a bullpen piece in October. Like, what are you going to get for that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Not much. What are you going to get for Joe Smith, who was a kind of generic middle reliever who had a good 3-month run before he got hurt, and now is coming off arm problems. Like, you know, what are you going to get for these kind of like low value guys that you're willing to trade? And if you're not going to get much, if you're going to get some A-ball arm who might, you know, show up in 5 years, or some like utility infielder, why trade them? Like, what's the upside of kind of giving up on going after a playoff spot in a mediocre race with no real good teams if you're not really going to get a significant return?
Right. And now you mentioned, so you actually wrote a piece for Today at FanGraphs. You were essentially revisiting a post you'd done, I don't know, either earlier this month or about a month ago, in which you looked at the list of the buyers and the sellers. And, of course, implicit in that is also the teams on the bubble. The Toronto Blue Jays were one of the teams you located in the American League bubble. I believe another was the Texas Rangers. And with regard to the Texas Rangers, you said, I think you noted that they have no plans to trade you Darvish.
That we know of, yeah.
That we know of. Yeah. And I think you suggested, well, if a team isn't going to trade you Darvish, which would signal a rebuild, right, then there's not necessarily a lot of reason to sell anyone else.
Yeah.
I would have to think that a similar sentiment applies to the Blue Jays, in specifically with regard to Josh Donaldson. If you're not going to sell Josh Donaldson, at this point, there does not seem to necessarily be a lot of reason to sell other people, especially if you're within shouting distance of a wild card spot that no other club seems particularly eager to claim.
Right. I mean, it's like, the question is, like, what's the value of kind of going halfway, right? Like, if you're not going to rebuild for the future, you're not going to trade Donaldson, Stroman, Sanchez, like, your really valuable pieces, and so all you can do is kind of be like, well, we can make ourselves a little bit worse through this year in order to get some mediocre prospects, and we can reduce our chances of making this run and winning a wild card berth, and kind of, you know, giving ourselves a chance to make a late season kind of comeback. What's the value in going halfway? Like, I think for these teams like the Rangers and the Blue Jays and the Royals, you basically just say, like, either you're in or you're out, right? And, like, most of these teams, I think, are trying to say, like, we're in enough to not sell, to not make any big moves, to just kind of say, like, you know, the Orioles are in the position with Manny Machado. Like, we'll move Zach Britton, but we're not going to move Machado. Like, I don't know that I see the wisdom in that, honestly. It's like, if you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out. And the fence sitting, I don't think, does a lot of good for your organization.
Now, another point that Swiden makes in his piece today concerns the Blue Jays offense. And this is something we've seen elsewhere. I feel like there was a competitive White Sox team a few years ago that had a glaring hole at third base. And this was a team that was competing for, you know, a spot in the postseason. And this glaring hole at third base was actually a huge advantage, because any upgrade would be a huge upgrade. Now, with regard to the Blue Jays, I think that they've been among the bottom 5 or 10. I think maybe Swiden says that they ranked 24th by WAR or hitting overall. But that's not at all. The projections still suggest they're one of the best hitting teams. They ought to be one of the best hitting teams in the majors.
Right. I mean, the reason their offense is struggling this year is Jose Bautista hasn't been good. Josh Donaldson was hurt and then hasn't been Josh Donaldson. You know, these are not, you can't fix that, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're stuck with Jose Bautista at this point. You're not trading Josh Donaldson. You can't really go get a Josh Donaldson. Like, you can't just be like, well, we need a new Josh Donaldson to carry our offense. Like, you just have to hope Josh Donaldson starts hitting like Josh Donaldson. There's nothing really you can do about it.
Now, at this point, you know, do you, and I suppose this is an even greater philosophical question, but, like, do you trust the projections? Do you think that going forward, this will be the seventh best offensive team if all of the players are on the field for the projected amount of time? Or do you feel as though there is maybe some lag occurring where the projections are not picking up on, you know, certain indicators?
So I think one of the things that forecasts can't know really is health. And so, like, Josh Donaldson was hurt, and he's had lower leg injuries. We talked about this earlier in the season. This is a recurrent issue dating back to last year when he was, like, you know, missing days in September with leg problems. I think it's pretty likely that Josh Donaldson's not 100%, and he's playing through maybe an injury that's disabling him to some extent. So when the forecasts look at it and say, well, Josh Donaldson's been an amazing hitter for the last 3 or 4 years, we don't actually care that he's slumped for a couple of months, I think it's probably more likely this isn't a slump. This is Josh Donaldson playing at, you know, 80% health or 85% health, something like that, mm-hmm. and he's just not capable of doing what he used to be able to do until he gets healthy.
And so one of the sort of blind spots or semi-blind spots for projections is accounting, adjusting for health.
Yeah, and like, you know, guys playing through injury. Obviously, if you have a projection, if a guy isn't disabled list, you can just be like, well, this guy's not playing, and the projection will take him out. But if a guy is playing at a reduced rate, or playing at, you know, less than 100%, the projections don't have any real way of accounting for that.
Okay. Here, let me move on to one of Sweden's final points, and I think it dovetails nicely with something that you mentioned to me before we started recording. One point that Sweden makes is that the Blue Jays, that unlike other teams that might be looking to compete, looking to make the postseason, or already are projected to make the postseason, the Blue Jays actually have a pretty good bullpen. Obviously, Roberto Osuna has been quite good. And now with Aaron Sanchez coming back, Joe Biagini is going back to the bullpen. There's also Danny Barnes. Joe Smith is returning from the bullpen. And then you have Aaron Loop and Jeff Beliveau. Anyway, the point is that there are arms there. They have been decent, and they figure to remain decent or actually improve a little bit, especially with the return of Biagini to the bullpen. Now, we've seen other cases, like opposite cases. We have a team like the Nationals, which has been, they've been very good this year, but the thing that's preventing them, you know, that seems to be a weakness heading the playoffs is a lack of bullpen help, right? And teams have to pay quite a bit for bullpen help at this time of year. The Blue Jays will not be forced to do anything like that, so they can stand pat in a way that other teams can't. I'm curious, is this something that once again lends itself to the team perhaps being in a position to compete in a way that other teams that are seven games below 500 wouldn't be as we head to the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, I think that depends on what they're willing to do with Roberto Osuna. So if they wanted to put Osuna on the market, if they decide, you know, this is our potentially our best trade chip right now because we're not going to move Donaldson or Stroman, like the kind of core pieces for the future. If they say, look, we're going to put Roberto Osuna out there, absolutely, you're in a position of strength. He might be the most valuable reliever on the market if they put him out there, given what he's done this year, given his age, given his team control. There would be teams lining up to pay a mountain for Roberto Osuna. You'd get more for Osuna than the Yankees got for Aroldis Chapman last year.
Seriously? Why is that?
Well, for one, he's really good, right? Yeah. But two, he's under control for, I believe, three more years after this at arbitration salaries that are going to be significantly reduced relative to what a premier closer would cost you on the free agent market. So Chapman, as good as he is, it certainly is has a better track record than Osuna. Chapman came with 3 months of control. And so when you're getting multiple years of control, you have to pay more. This is one of the reasons the Indians gave up so much for Andrew Miller. You're probably looking at, you know, a package comparable to the Miller package, maybe even a little bit better for Roberto Osuna if they put him on the market. He would command a significant return. But if the Blue Jays are talking about contending next year, which they are, then if you trade Roberto Osuna, you now have to find yourself a closer. And so I think the non-Osuna guys in this bullpen, they're fine. Like, you'll get something for Joe Smith if he shows that he's healthy, if he comes off the disabled list. Maybe someone would give you something for, you know, Jeff Beliveau. Like, I mean, you could maybe move these, but you're not getting a lot back for those types of guys. But if they decide that Osuna's a guy that they think they could sell high on right now, he would bring back a monster return.
And they would still, so it's interesting, right? Now, as I suppose as much as it might be difficult to part with a talent like Roberto Osuna, it also seems like he might be the kind of luxury where they wouldn't actually be losing much in the way of present day wins. They'd still be keeping most of their team intact.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could probably make a decent case that that this is the time to trade Osuna, right? Like, he's 22, so you could certainly look at him and be like, this is part of our future, but relievers are fickle, right? Like, Neftali Feliz, not that long ago, was like one of the best young pitchers in baseball, one of the best young relievers in baseball, and then Neftali Feliz kind of fell off a cliff, and like, now at, 29 or whatever, he's out of baseball. He like got cut by the Brewers a month ago. I guess the Royals picked him up, so now he's a middle reliever or something, but like, this was an example of a guy who was Roberto Osuna-ish, when he came up really young as a top prospect, became a standout closer, and then just washed out really fast. And so, like, the shelf life of closers is short often. And so you could look at it and say, you know what? We think we could get a monster haul for Osuna right now because of the demand for relievers, because of his control, because of how good he's been this year. Like, making no mistake, Roberto Osuna has been amazing this year. So based on those factors, we think we could get a huge return. we don't necessarily trust that Osuna is going to, you know, remain a great pitcher for the next 3 or 4 years, even though he's young, just because of the fickle nature of relievers. We think we could go find another pitcher who turned into a good closer easier than we could find the prospects that we can get for Osuna at the deadline.
Okay, so that's a possibility. You wouldn't be surprised if Osuna were traded before the deadline.
I think if you're the Blue Jays and you're looking to kind of load up for 2018, your best bet is to get either a starting pitcher or some position player help to help you for next year, and your best chip to do that is Osuna. So if you're looking at, like, because you're just not going to be able to reload with the Joe Smiths of the world or, you know, Steve Pierce's, like, any of those guys that you trade, like, they're just not going to bring back enough to really significantly improve the team next year. Obviously, losing Osuna hurts, but relievers can be found, and I think, like, there's a history of teams building bullpens out of scratch and saying, like, hey, look, we just, you know, like the Chicago White Sox this year have, like, Tommy Conley pitching really well. Has anyone heard of Tommy Conley before this season? Like, the San Diego Padres with, you know, Brad Hand. Like, there's these really good relievers who do come out of nowhere. I think if you're the Blue Jays, you could dock yourself into, let's trade Osuna for someone we can stick on our team next year at either a starting rotation spot or a starting position player spot, you know, and maybe some more prospect depth beyond that, and then we'll figure out the bullpen next year.
Okay. Dave Cameron, this is the part of the program where I discuss an obscure Blue Jays prospect briefly while you ignore me.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to start doing.
Okay, all right. Well, actually, it's going to be two in quick succession. You know that in previous weeks, this has mostly turned into a status update about Danny Jansen.
Yeah.
Allow me to provide briefly a status update on Danny Jansen, 23-year-old catcher currently at AA New Hampshire. Over the past week, he was once again fantastic. 17 plate appearances, Dave Cameron. No strikeouts. 4 walks, but no strikeouts. And he hit a double at the same time. Yeah.
At the same time he was drawing walks, he had a double?
He is a man of many talents, is what he possesses. No, but during that interval, he also produced a double.
Okay, so what you're saying is he had one extra base hit last week.
Yeah, he had one extra base hit, 4 singles. It's only 17 plate appearances, and he walked in 4 of them. So, you know, he's fine. I'm not worried about it. He's a catcher. Now, the concerns continue to remain, Dave Cameron, regarding Danny Jansen's defense, right, and his receiving. So, but I just wanted to give a Danny Jansen status update. But now let me turn your attention to an even more obscure prospect, and that is former 7th-round pick out of a high school in Huntington Beach, California, Christian Lopes. Christian Lopes has been in the organization since 2011, Dave Cameron, and he's had a slow road to AAA, but that's the level at which he's been playing this year, AAA Buffalo. Now 24, nearly 25. But he's had quite a good season, especially, you know, sometimes, well, you know, on a weekly basis, I write a report on fringe prospects at Fangraphs.com called The Fringe Five. Christian Lopes is precisely the sort of player who would appear in that. He plays second base. He plays third base. According to the metrics, both by Clay Davenport and Baseball Prospectus, he plays them competently. And also, offensively, he's the sort of guy who avoids strikeouts while hitting with a modicum of power. Christian Lopes has been out since the end of June with an injury. However, he's expected back at some point over the course of the next week. And I will say, Dave Cameron, that knowing that this is a team that has had trouble finding any sort of production second base between Devin Travis's injuries and then the, you know, subpar performances of Darwin Barney and Ryan Goins, that Christian Lopes, he might be someone to investigate. What do you think about that?
I remain not that interested in Christian Lopes, so good try.
And I will tell you that the author of that I did have these thoughts in my own head, but the author of a website known as Blue Jays from the Couch, while I was doing some research, I noticed he actually has a similar opinion. Jays from the Couch. Jays from the Couch is the name of that website. Sean Doyle.
Good job,
editor.
Sean Doyle. Way to be on the same page as Carson Cistulli.
Thank you, Sean Doyle. Yes, thank you, Sean Doyle. Anyway, now let's move on to looking into the future, the white hot light of the future. Dave Cameron, what do we find there? We find a Blue Jays team that is set to play a schedule consisting of visits. So we discussed minutes ago, Dave Cameron, about the three best teams in the American League. Unfortunately for the Toronto Blue Jays, they will be facing two of those. They begin today a four-game series at Boston, where they will face Eduardo Rodriguez, Dave Cameron, who has been out with a subluxation. He had a problem with his leg. Is the problem? But pitching well before that, actually. Brian Johnson, who has not really pitched well. He's had one good game, but I think that he's lost quite a bit of the stuff that he possessed before he went. Before he was drafted out of Florida. Drew Pomeranz, who I think is on sort of Rich Hill light still, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then Chris Sale, who is the best.
The best, yeah.
The best. According to the FanGraphs projections, actually above a 50% chance of winning those games versus Rodriguez and Johnson. Those games started by Stroman and Happ, respectively, and then Sanchez and Liriano after that. Liriano facing Chris Sale. So a tough series, though, and then they go to Cleveland. So it's really it's the two toughest possibilities. And
well, Houston would be tougher, but...
Houston, okay. Two of the three toughest possibilities, and they see Corey Kluber first. There, Marco Estrada will face Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber, also one of the best, I believe. And then Trevor Bauer, Josh Tomlin.
Not quite as good,
but still fine enough, especially with a strong Cleveland offense. Marco Estrada, Marcus Stroman, and Jay Happ.
This will be a good week for the Blue Jays to figure out what they're going to do, right? Like, if you hold your own against the Red Sox and the Indians, and you beat Kluber, and you beat Chris Sale, and, like, you know, you get back towards .500, I think then they probably say, okay, maybe let's keep this together. If they go, like, 1-6, time to be more aggressive in selling your closer.
Yeah. And I think I'm also the idea of selling the closer, getting a good return. Now, it seemed like when you were talking about the return, you're looking at guys who are near major league ready. Is that the idea?
Yeah, I don't think the Blue Jays are going to be trading for A-ball guys. Like, maybe there's an A-ball guy in the deal as, like, the fourth guy. But if you're trading Osuna, you're doing it for a guy who you think you could play next year.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. Look forward to the whole week. The things. What do we have to say? Come August 1st.
Well, I think you're going to say, "Leave me alone. I've got a kid to watch."
Yeah, I do. I should a brief programming note, and this might be relevant as soon as next week. I have a very pregnant wife, and I don't know what 39 weeks is considered the beginning of full term.
I think 36 weeks is being a full term.
Early term. Okay. And then full term begins is 39 through 41. Okay. And then after that, you're late.
All right.
Yeah. But,
so you're at full term now.
Yeah, two days away from full term.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then the due date's a week and a half. So it really could happen anytime.
Yeah.
And, at that point, I probably will not be participating too much.
I would hope not.
Yeah. But what do you think? But what will there be to success? Because you know, much of the most recent episodes have been consumed by talk of the Blue Jays' precarious situation in the playoffs. But of course, there's also these like the rest of the league is like almost the rest of the leagues, the American League's incompetence has allowed them to, you know, hold this flickering thought of competition, you know, of contention. What's going to happen on August 1st?
My guess is the Blue Jays are going to be very light sellers. Like, maybe they'll move Osuna, maybe they won't. But I don't think they're going to do, like, maybe Joe Smith goes. I think they're going to be light sellers.
Okay. And one last question. I was thinking about this. So, over the weekend, Jeff Samardzija faced Trevor Cahill, right? It was a Giants-Padres game. And on the face of it, like, actually... And this might be a strange sentence to a person from 2016 or before, but a game started by Jeff Samardzija and in particular Trevor Cahill is actually an interesting game on the face of it, right? Trevor Cahill's had a pretty good season for someone who was nothing before this season.
He used to be one of the best young pitchers in baseball. They got hurt a lot,
right? But he was still like mostly a sinker ball guy, and he's missing bats this year.
Yeah.
Okay. But those two teams are. Like two of the worst, they have at least two of the worst records in all the National League. So essentially, they're playing an exhibition game. Is there any other way to look at it? Just like a very well attended exhibition game.
I mean, it counts in the sense of who gets the worst draft pick next year.
Okay, but is it?
It has some long term ramifications where an exhibition game has none.
Yeah, but do you want? You know, I'm not cheering. It's hard to cheer for one's team to lose, isn't it?
Depends on how much you don't like them.
Yeah, I guess so. All right.
If you're hoping that the Blue Jays trade Roberto Osuna, Blue Jays fans should be hoping, rooting for them to lose.
Yeah. What if they lose the near term and they go on a crazy winning streak after August 1st?
That would be less helpful.
Yeah. Okay, hey, Dave Cameron.
Hey.
You've fulfilled your obligations to the Pitch Docs Blue Jays podcast.
I am happy to hear it.
Okay, very good. Now let us end this thing. That has been Dave Cameron. He's the managing editor of Fangraphs.com. I'm Carson Cestulli, and this has been the Pitch Docs Blue Jays podcast.